weather. But we're glad you're here and glad we have another opportunity to partake of God's word and learn more about him and how that we might better serve him. We read the Psalm 57, and that's going to be the text for our lesson. Have you ever felt depressed? Have you ever felt distressed or alone? I think we've all been there at some point in time, that we've went through a period of depression or grief or sorrow. And in those times, it's real easy for us to feel that we're just all alone by ourselves. It's real easy to feel that God is far away, and maybe even we get to the point of feeling that God doesn't care. We find ourselves in the dark place, and we need to figure out a way to get out of that dark place. So what can you do when you're so depressed, you're so sorrowful that you feel numb? Well, the Bible, fortunately, provides us with some answers. And it provides us with a really good example in the case of David. In Psalm 57, David was depressed. He was distressed. He wasn't all alone. He had a lot of people with him, but he was still in deep trouble. If you remember your Old Testament history, David, at this point in time in Psalm 57, he's already been victorious over Goliath. He has been made a captain of the army. In fact, he has about 5 men serving under him. Him and his men have had several victories over the Philistines by this point in time. He was also a man of faith, a man that was after God's own heart, as the Bible says. But you also remember that Saul became very jealous of David. Saul's jealousy and his hatred became so great that he tried to kill David. So David, with his men, went into hiding. In fact, he was pretty much reduced to outlaw status, fleeing around the countryside, trying to get away from Saul. In 1 Samuel 22, David escapes to a cave. And here the once mighty captain is pretty much living as an outlaw and a refugee. I think it's a very much a type of Christ. He's leading this small band who's being chased. It's kind of like Christians being persecuted by people of the world. Later on, in 1 Samuel 24, David and his men hide in another cave in the area called En Gedi. He's being chased by Saul and Saul's 3,000 chosen men. Just picture yourself, here's David, that he's living in constant fear for his life, and he's having to flee from place to place to avoid capture and avoid execution. During this time, David, if you remember, was able to sneak up on Saul and cut off part of Saul's robe. Now, David's men wanted David to kill Saul, but he just cut off the corner of his robe in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 4. While in the caves, while in these physical dark places, David was also in what we would call an emotional dark place. And that's where Psalm 57, Psalm 142 come into play, because he wrote these psalms as he was hiding in these caves from Saul. In Psalm 57 and verse 6, David said, "My soul is bowed down." Or as the NIV says, I was bowed down in distress. Or the New Living Translation says, "I am weary from distress." He was in a very dark place emotionally. He was sorrowful in Psalm 142 that we didn't read from. But in verse 6, he cries out to God, "Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison." Have you ever felt like that? That you were so sorrowful, you were so depressed that you felt like you were in a prison cell. You just couldn't get out. Well, though David was distressed and depressed, he knew that God would see him through that difficult situation. In Psalm 57 and verse 4, "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Then in verse 8, he comes out of it and says, awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. The New Living Translation translates that last sentence, I will awaken the dawn, as let us greet the dawn with song. So through this dark night, David knew that the light and the brightness of dawn was coming. In Psalm 30 in verse 5, David says, his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life, talking about God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So we all at some times experience our dark night in that cave of sorrow or depression, and we weep through the night, and we need to look towards the dawn. Just as David did, if we put our faith and trust in God, then we can awaken and sing the joy at the coming of dawn. So this lesson I've entitled Awaken the Dawn from Psalm 57. And I want to study the case of David very briefly so we can imitate him and better deal with our times of sorrow and depression. Only 3 points to our sermon this evening, but 3 very important points. For us to successfully deal with our times of depression and sorrow, we must imitate David's attitude first. Here we have David in 1 Samuel 22 and 24 being forced into hiding. Now he's got a lot of folks with him. He's got his 400 men. He's got his brothers and all of his father's house. But it said everyone was distressed in 1 Samuel 22. Imagine that laying on his shoulders. It's not only him who's being sought after, but he's responsible for all of these people. And they're distressed as he's distressed. So that puts even more pressure on David. Think about David for a moment. He was God's anointed to be king. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a man of faith in God. In fact, he was a man that God described as a man after my own heart, who would do my will. He was a captain of the army of Israel. He was King Saul's son-in-law. Remember, he married Michal, Saul's daughter. He had everything in the world going for him. But where's he at? He's a fugitive now. He's a refugee. He's been forced out of Jerusalem, running around the countryside, hiding in caves. How would most people take that? Most people say, why me? God, I've been doing what you want me to do. Why are you so against me? And many people, I think, would at that point have thrown in the towel and just given up. Well, there's no doubt that David was troubled, distressed, and depressed. Again, in Psalm 142, it says that his spirit was overwhelmed. In the Living Bible, David says this, and as I read this, I imagine all of us have been here at this point. Here's what David says. No one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. I think we've all been there and experienced that at some point. Again, from Psalm 142, this time in verses 4 and 5, he says that though the physical refuges have failed, he now considers God his refuge. He cries out to the Lord, and he says, you are my refuge, in Psalm 142 and verse 5. Even though he's been brought low by sorrow, and though his enemies are stronger, he believes that God is able to deliver him. Again, from Psalm 142, this time verses 6 and 7, he cries out to God, attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So he had an attitude that despite his sorrow, despite his depression, despite all of the fear that he was experiencing, he was determined to lean on God for his help. He saw that his suffering was only for a short period of time. It was, if he would just suffer through the night, and when the sun came up, when the dawn came, things would be better. he said, "Let us greet the dawn with song." In Psalm 30 in verse 5, "But joy comes in the morning." So sometimes when we're brought very low, when we're in our cave of sorrow, it's hard for us to see that there's any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. But we have to have the attitude of David and see the joy that dawn can bring if we put our faith and our trust in God. In fact, God invited David to trust him for deliverance. In Psalm 50 and verse 15, it reads, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." God is inviting him. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." So we need to understand that that God can deliver us. Now, he doesn't always deliver us in the sense of a physical deliverance. We might go through pain and persecution and even death. But he promises eternal deliverance. We can always count on that. I'm reminded of Daniel's three friends. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar was about to throw them in the fiery furnace? They weren't going to bow down to that idol, but they were confident that the God that they served was able to deliver them. And even if he didn't, what were they going to do? They still were going to remain faithful, and I think they did that because they knew that he would deliver them in the eternal sense. That's something that Paul knew. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul had so many difficulties, so much persecution. And he writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. He said that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now notice in verse 10, who delivered us? God is the one who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. No matter how dire the circumstances, we need to put our faith and trust in him. We need to have that attitude of David. Remember always Ephesians 3 and verse 20. God is able to do what? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think, as long as we keep our attitude in the right place. Well, in order for us to successfully deal with our times of depression and sorrow, I would say not only must we imitate David's attitude, we must imitate his action. David didn't sit in that cave and with his hands in it, or his head in his knees, or his head in his hands, and have a pity party, did he? He took some action, and the action that he took was praising God. We've seen that from Psalm 57 and 142. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 57. "Be merciful to me, O God." He's taking action. He's calling upon God. "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by." He's confident in God. "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." I would characterize that as a prayer. We studied that a little bit this morning in our lesson. We need to be a praying people. We need to take action. In Psalm 142, it says that David cried out to the Lord and made supplication to the Lord and declared before him his trouble. He let God know how he felt. He let God know his trouble, and he called on God. He took action to request that God would deliver him from that troublesome time. Sometimes when people are distressed or depressed, they, again, start feeling sorry for themselves. They have a pity party, as we might say. And that can often lead to taking rash actions, to pushing God out of our lives instead of trying to draw God closer to us, as David did. When I look at David's actions in cutting off Saul's robe, I think that's a very important part of this whole picture. What did David's men want David to do? They wanted him to kill Saul. "You got your chance, boy. Take advantage of it. Do him in." But David didn't do that. He didn't act rashly. I think it would have been very easy for most people to have taken that opportunity to kill Saul. He's causing me all this problem. He's why I'm in this depressed and distressed state that I'm in. So here's the way out. I can just kill this man. But David acted honorably and showed respect not only for the king, but showed respect for God in the process. He also showed, by doing that, showed his complete faith in God to deliver him from Saul. David knew that he was the anointed king. He knew that God was going to someday raise him to that throne. So he didn't take matters into his own hands. He let God work out the situation for him. Not only work out the situation, but work it out in God's timetable rather than his own timetable. And I think that's the idea of waiting on God. We need to wait on the Lord, as the psalmist says. If David had taken Saul's life, imagine what could have happened. The army could have rejected him. It could have caused a civil war. It could have caused David from being looked down upon as a usurper and caused just all kinds of problems. But David relied on God's timing. And instead of him becoming a usurper, Saul's son became the usurper, if you remember. Ishbosheth, that's a hard one to say, but that was Saul's son that caused the problems. So David, in his time of sorrow, in his time of depression and fear, drew near to God and acted above reproach. And that's what we must do as well. We must imitate that example. We need to remember that even though we feel all of this pain and sorrow, we're still responsible for our actions and our attitudes, and we'll be held accountable for that. We can't indulge ourselves in self-pity. We can't use those times as an excuse to sin or to sulk. David said, "I cried to you, O Lord. I said, you were my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." So make no mistake about it. When we're in our cave of sorrow, Satan is going to try to fool us into thinking that God really doesn't care about us. And nothing could be further from the truth. So we have to be very careful in those times. I would suggest in those times that we remember Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, the third point and final point of our lesson is this. We need to imitate David when we're in our cave of sorrow by looking ahead, by not getting mired down in the past and in the present. Sometimes when we're in the midst of depression and sorrow, it's easy, again, to just focus on the present, focus on all of the problems that we have, and fail to look to the future. Well, David didn't do that. He understood that his distress would pass. He trusted in God in Psalm 57 and verse 1 to be his refuge till what? Till his calamities have passed by. I've been in the cave of sorrow many times, and what ultimately always happens? The thing goes away. The problem ends up being solved in one way, fashion, or another. David felt he was lying among lions. His problems were so bad. But he recognized that his weeping and his sorrow would be only for a night, and that the morning would bring joy. He looked ahead to the dawn of day. He didn't dwell on the danger, but looked ahead to the deliverance God would bring. He looked ahead to the joy that comes in the morning. Very importantly, David gave glory to God for seeing him through the night to the morning. Again, from Psalm 57, this time verses 9 through 11. "I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, For your mercy reaches unto us, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all of the earth. So no matter how bad we feel things are, we only need to look ahead past our present problems to see the dawn that the Lord provides. One of my favorite passages in that regard is in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. When we're suffering in this life, we need to balance that by making the comparison of those things to the life that we have in store in eternity. When Paul did that, he said, he described the difficulties of this life as a light affliction. You remember that? A light affliction, which is what? But for a moment. And it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When we take that perspective, then we can see really how minor our problems really are, because they're just for a short period of time. They're just but a light afflictions. We also need to comfort one another. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We need to comfort one another in that we need to be reminding one another of the future glory that we're all going to share in if we remain faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, Paul writes that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now notice, therefore comfort one another with these words. We need to talk about the coming heaven that we're going to all enjoy, this eternal inheritance that's reserved in heaven for each one of us. Sometimes in life we just have to suffer through the night in order to brightness of the new dawn. On the night of September 13th, 1814, was the Battle of Baltimore, and a certain person was in Fort McHenry, and that fort was bombarded all night long. Thousands of shells were fired into that fort. But they made it through to dawn. And you know what that person did? He wrote a song, or he wrote a poem, and it's our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. So when we're in our cave of sorrow, let's imitate that. Look forward to the dawn. Let us imitate David. Look forward to God's deliverance that he most surely will supply. Trust that we will awaken the dawn. Finally, turn over to Philippians 3. Paul was of this nature that David was. He was able to not focus on the difficulties of the present, but look forward to the glories of the future. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Paul had a lot to be ashamed of, didn't he, because of his persecution of the church. But he said, "Forget those things that are behind, reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, do the same thing." So we need to have the right attitude, we need to take the right actions, and we need to look ahead rather than wallowing in the present. Well, David went from the caves of darkness to become the greatest king that Israel ever had. And he was able to do that because he trusted in God, he waited on God, and God exalted and blessed him. God delivered him from Saul and from these because David recognized that God is stronger than any enemy. I recommend to you Psalm 18. I would read it, but it's 50 verses long. But Psalm 18 is David's psalm of joy over God's delivering him from Saul. So when we're depressed, when we are in sorrow and distress, let us have the attitude of David. Trust in God for his deliverance. Let us always act honorably, despite how bad we might feel, how dire our circumstances might be, and let us look ahead past the weeping of night to the joy of the dawn. Psalm 30 and verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, "Weeping may go on all night, but joy comes with the morning." So we can trust God to take away our cave of sorrow and exalt us if we will. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. If you're a Christian and you've not been living in the way that pleases God, we want to encourage you to get back on that straight and narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. If you're subject, either case, to the invitation, we encourage you as we stand and sing.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life. Oh,